thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome back the chairman of the Rhode Island Republican Party, Brandon Bell. Thank you for joining us, Brandon.
Good morning. Thanks for having me again.
President-elect Donald Trump this week acknowledged Russian meddling in the U.S. election in November, but Trump denies unverified allegations of collusion between Russia and his campaign. Democrats say the allegations are troubling and need to be carefully reviewed by an independent bipartisan committee or commission. Chairman Bell, do you agree with Democrats that these allegations are serious enough that they need to be vetted by an independent congressional committee or commission?
Look, I have no problem with an independent committee and commission. There's no question that that the Russians interfered with the process. I, however, have a real problem with people that are throwing stories out there that there was an influence, that it actually influenced the outcome of the election. I said what influenced the outcome of the election is, well, my response to people is President Obama and Hillary Clinton as the candidate. When you have the world's worst candidate running, this is what happens. And by the way, Obama's FBI director may have had a little bit of influence as well. So when you have a bad candidate, when you have the confluence of what happened there, I said Donald Trump won this election fair and square.
Maureen, this election turned on only about 80,000 votes in three battleground states. How much significance do you put on the Russian influence?
I think the Russian influence was very important. No one has said that it definitively affected the outcome. That's not the question. The question that really matters is, was there any kind of collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians while they were up to this mischief? The important thing is collusion in an election, no matter what the outcome, and that warrants, I think, a special committee or commission.
Well, what I'd say about that is that Donald Trump didn't set up, or I should say Vladimir Putin didn't set up the secret server in Hillary's house. I mean, a lot of these things, they're blown out of proportion, and then you start to talk about some of the salacious fake stories. When you put all of that together, at the end of the day, this election was won fair and square. Donald Trump would not have lost votes with any of these ridiculous allegations of activity. He's going to get support when he builds the wall, when he repeals and replaces Obamacare and some of his campaign promises.
Scott, Republicans have traditionally been hawkish on foreign policy. Why do you think Trump supporters are not more concerned about looking at these allegations involving Russian influence?
Because I think in this election, the economy and immigration were issues that really trumped foreign policy, to use not a pun I don't mean, and Putin didn't enshrine the Electoral College. Let's be honest, Trump won because of the Electoral College, and whatever you want to think about that, he won by the manner prescribed by our Constitution. Now, it's troubling that for the second time in 16 years, we have a president who did not get a plurality of the vote. And going forward, I think that's something Americans have to be concerned about.
Well, in other news this week, two state officials, Department of Human Services Director Melba DePena and Chief Digital Officer Tom Guertin, are taking the fall over the bungled rollout of the state's UHIP system, United Health Infrastructure Project, the $364 million computer system for administering human service benefits. Chairman Bell, do you think this is mainly a sacrificial example, or is the Raimondo administration taking proper steps to ensure accountability here?
I think it's a little bit too late. This is the arrogance of leadership by Gina Raimondo. This was no surprise as to what happened with regard to UHIP. She ignored what the feds were telling her, the warnings about launching the system.
The governor says, though, that the predecessor system was really operating poorly, that the political imperative is such that a number of administrations didn't bring the state's infrastructure up to speed on this. So does she really bear that level of blame for trying to move the infrastructure forward?
Yes, it's a complete failure of leadership. She laid off 35 or 45 people before she had a system in place. These are our most neediest and vulnerable citizens that were impacted by this. But, you know, it reminds me of what Reagan said, personnel is policy. You know, you get the right people on the bus, the wrong people off the bus, and the right people in the right seats. And she failed miserably. Melba DePena, unfortunately, her management management was four people as an executive director, is my understanding, of the Democratic Party. Betsy Wall on the Cooler Warmer had no experience, but she had a great Rolodex for fundraising. So at the end of the day, what we have here is horrible judgment, patronage jobs, people who should not be in these jobs. Most importantly, the DHS. I hate to even put that together with the tourism campaign.
Scott, what do you make of the chairman's criticism?
You know, I hate to admit that he strikes some of the right chords. Raimondo, it's really easy to blame your predecessors. Governors do it all the time. And I would believe her more if she had just taken over as governor. She's been governor for 2 years. I'm sorry now, Governor, you own this state bureaucracy. By now, you should be able to figure out what's wrong. And I think firing the folks who knew how to do it was frankly just not the smartest thing in the world.
Maureen, do you think the Raimondo administration should do a public postmortem to identify what went wrong in this process?
Sure. I think that's a good idea because I agree with some of the comments in the sense that I don't think the governor was directly responsible in the sense that she's responsible for who she hires. And there I agree with you. But when the first inkling of this came, she should have been right out in front and just as critical of what was going on as everybody else. It would have inoculated her. It would have diminished the sort of rancor in the stories because she's agreeing that this is an unacceptable situation.
Meanwhile, in other news this week, the State Ethics Commission found probable cause to pursue a complaint against Providence City Council President Luis Aponte. The commission found Aponte voted for a zoning change that benefited the person who is his landlord at the time. The council president denies violating ethics standards and says he plans a vigorous defense during an upcoming hearing. Maureen, what do you think the fallout is here? Is this a threat to Council President Aponte's tenure as council president?
Well, it's certainly a threat in the sense that he makes this argument about the zoning board change. And in a sense, it's somewhat credible in that it was a unanimous vote anyway. So his abstention wouldn't have mattered. His other problems, though, in terms of campaign finance and how he's used this money, I think that's where the problem is. But, you know, the inner workings of the council are hard to predict.
What do you say, Chairman Bell?
I mean, he's like the poster child for what's wrong in Providence. It's like the old machine politics, and let's just do things the way they've been done. And what concerns me is what the Ethics Commission did the other day, not on finding probable cause on him, because that was pretty obvious, but what they did with Don Lally. And in imposing a fine or agreeing on a fine of $5,000.
And Don Lally is the former state rep who was hired by the Raimondo administration a few months after he left the legislature.
And he was recommended by Nick Mattiello. And if you read the investigative report that led to the probable cause, it's a how-to full Rhode Island. It's the Rhode Island, the Speaker of the House's spokesperson, Larry Berman, going to the governor's office before she's inaugurated or fresh off her inauguration, looking for a job for Don Lally before he even resigned. So the fact that he took this job, earned about $70,000 without any of the benefits, and he walks away with a $5,000 fine, it's be unethical, because even if you get caught, you will profit. So let's just say that Councilman Aponte, the president there, walks away. What's the worst that can happen? He's going to get a couple $1,000 fine? I mean, that's the problem. We need some real teeth with the Ethics Commission as well.
Quickly, Scott, how do you see the fallout for Council President Aponte?
I think Aponte deserves his due process. That said, I also think it casts a shadow over the Providence City Council because you have not just the council president, but longtime Councilman Kevin Jackson, who's under indictment, and he's still hanging on the council, and people are trying to recall him. This just doesn't look good for City Hall in Providence.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And the chairman of the Rhode Island Republican Party, Brandon Bell.
Thank you again.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.